Welcome to another episode of the Tech Exception Show. My name is Ruth Yakubu, and today we have a very special guest, Anand Jenafalkar, who is the CEO of UJET. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about how the company is In today's episode, we're going to be talking about how the company is operationalizing contact center efficiency with AI. Before we start our conversation, if you have any questions for Anand, be sure to paste your questions in the chat bot. And at the end of the session, we'll be sure to get to your questions. Anand, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So to start with, can you tell us what UJET is and what problem you're trying to solve?
Yeah, absolutely. So UJET is a SaaS company which focuses on reimagining how companies communicate with their customers and in a very visual and contextual manner. If you really think about how humans communicate today with friends and family, we communicate visually and contextually. We don't have to kind of think about whether I'm going to start a voice call or an SMS or maybe a social media message. It's all available to us, and the urgency and complexity of the situation dictates the channel or the experience we pick to communicate with them. The only time when two humans communicate in a non-visual contextual manner is customer support. So that is what we're attacking first. But essentially what we're doing is building a platform that allows companies to communicate with their customers in the cloud's native and smartphone centric era.
Awesome. So with the customer service interaction, what are the different platforms that the UJET solution is able to integrate with? If a company wants to utilize your solution?
Very, very good question. Like we attacked in the first part of your question is like, that was the end user experience. But for companies to provide that end user experience to their customers, they have a full setup on the back end, which has things like data domiciled record locators, information about their customer ID and membership tier. All of that these days, more often than not, is a part of a CRM system or a case management system or a database system. So our platform out of the box has native integration, secure packages with Microsoft Dynamics CRM and a lot of other CRMs that customers use. Some companies have their homegrown CRMs, which also we have a very elegant solution to interface with.
Oh, that's great. So with all of this, how is the company utilizing AI? What are the different ways you guys utilize AI?
In a multitude of ways. So this could definitely be a very long discussion, so I'm going to try and keep it very succinct. So think about a very mechanical, automated things which are based on a lot of calculations and a lot of just slotting in what the right person is to solve the issue. I'll give you an example. If you're a customer that is reaching out within the first 14 days of making a purchase, for example, a drone that you've purchased and trying to connect it with your device and you're having Bluetooth issues or Wi-Fi issues or stuff like that, that will get sequenced to a technical support automatically by understanding where the information is coming from, most likely through the app, most likely through the device ID. And what that does is essentially provides a layer of automation, which takes contextual information that is already present in stuff that engineers and product folks have designed into the product experience, but till now has been sitting in the background and not being surfaced or rendered onto the agent screen in an intelligent manner so that they know for sure where this is coming from and not having to go through a very just cookie cutter script to find out what the issue is. I know that was a little verbose than I would like to, but think about using complexity, urgency, and the origination point of where that query came from to translate that as a not only to the right agent, but to the right sequence in terms of that customer support. The second and third part of it is even using machine learning algorithms to provide extremely accurate wait times. So that way, if a customer is reaching out and they see the wait time is about 15 minutes and they're going to step into a meeting or going to go pick up their kids from school, they can decide to get a call back, or they can decide to have a chat session instead of a voice session or a video session. That is probably the second layer of using this. And the third layer is using it for true intelligent automation with things like natural language processing, image recognition, or even providing like really different sentiment-based or just user behavior-based inputs so that it's a delightful experience rather than a frustrating one.
Yeah, that is, it's a whole comprehensive different ways of you guys utilizing AI. So when it comes to a lot of the virtual or digital agents out there, how do you guys decipher or do intent classification? Because some people, if they're chatting, they may misspell things, or it could be there's maybe I have an accent. How do you guys handle situations like that?
Yeah, to answer this, I'm going to actually start from the creation of the company. As you can see with my last name, it's really difficult to pronounce it, and it's even more difficult to get it right in terms of the spelling on a customer support call. To add insult to injury, that's also in my personal email. So I never get follow-up emails because a lot of people spell that as J-A-N-N-E-F-A-L-K-E-R. So this was actually one of the biggest pain points why I started UJET, that in this day and age, when I can log into my apps with my Touch ID, Face ID, and information is automatically piped through to it, to login systems, to approval systems, to the InfoSec team putting in all of the curated paths for it, why do I have to spell this and make sure that it, every letter is getting understood or not? So it starts with just taking what tools we have in terms of natural language processing, in terms of correction, autocorrect, as the very just simple methods of entry. And then taking that further on to go through a layer of user segmentation, right? There's so many different things that are associated with my user account for pretty much every service that I subscribe for, that why is it that that data is just used for marketing and that intelligence is not passed on to customer support? So we call this a pre-firefight session whenever we provide solutions to companies, like utilize that data that you have for a customer for stuff beyond just upsell. Because once you provide them great customer support, the upsell is gonna happen. So the visual and contextual part is the main way that we almost circumvent what these error-prone methods of legacy platforms, how they obtain information, and provide them a very accurate way of obtaining it. Now, one last thing I would want to add there is we have our patented smart actions, which are the one-click way of obtaining accurate user information and data with the right permissions, with the right security. We have pretty much every certification except FedRAMP. FedRAMP is something that we're working on to get to the end of the year. But it's a very automatic way of how we pass through that information so that you don't have to repeat yourself and you don't have to worry about whether you spelled it correctly or you have background noise or accents.
Yeah, that's a very good way of approaching the different complexities when you're trying to find intent, whether it's via language and whatnot, but at scale. Because since your solution is a SaaS solution, I can imagine enterprises of different domains or industries using it, or that have different customer bases can easily utilize it. So that's good to know. Another thing I personally I'm guilty of. Even when you're talking to a real life agent, there are some cases where you get frustrated, and not that I lose my cool, but some people lose their cool from talking to a live agent. So does UJET have their solution in such a way that it's able to pick up cues based upon if they're interacting with the virtual agent and notice something is not going wrong to react to it?
Yeah, you're not the only one that gets frustrated by that. So here's the scenario, right? Agents are really in a very tough spot. I mean, think about an agent that is a human that outside of work and the legacy tools that they have, they are communicating visually and contextually. And we touched on that topic earlier. You're pretty much taking that agent, putting them into a scenario, dumbing down their senses into a unidimensional channel experience, and trying to ask them to solve an issue for a flustered and frustrated customer. It is a recipe for disaster. So we approach this in a couple of ways. One, we don't let that agent require to kind of dumb down their senses into something as a unidimensional voice channel or a unidimensional chat channel where they can't communicate visually and contextually, or whether they cannot obtain information to begin with. We have a very unique blended SMS solution where we can transform a legacy IVR or toll-free number call into a digital steering call and obtain a lot of that information during the wait time, as well as have a deep link into even the app if the company has an app and the customer is utilizing it. But furthermore, giving them those one-touch actions, smart actions to obtain that data is one. Now, you also touched on the virtual agent part of it, and I personally get extremely frustrated when I interact with a chatbot, because a lot of times, everyone is digitally savvy today, right? They're digitally acquainted. So they put in a little bit of effort to try and self-solve the issue. But when you've gone through that and then you have found nothing and then you go to a support channel and then there's a chatbot asking you, hey, I found this in the FAQs. Did you try that? I found this in our knowledge base. Did you try this? And it's really frustrating, right? So the journey of the end user should be structured such that it takes into account that these are the web pages and these are the topics that they've already visited, and not frustrate them with asking that same question. Secondly, if you're sensing that the sentiment is changing, the sentiment analysis that we have will give that visual clue to the system, even to the virtual agent system, so that there is a data set that is going to quickly trigger an escalation. And then the priority and the wait for that particular request might be higher than a normal incoming call or chat or SMS session. When this is actually connected to a human agent, that sentiment information is also passed. So they can use their experience, empathy, and intuition to not just read a script. They can use that to just be very much collaborative in solving that issue. And that's how you create customer loyalty, and that's how you create upsells, rather than just frustrating them and trying to normalize the peak hour surge by just keeping them on a chatbot. That's a sure way of losing business.
Yeah. No, I think it's amazing that you guys use the capabilities of NLP to pick up the sentiment analysis, whether somebody's happy or sad or emotion or maybe the tone of voice, to be able to quickly react for these type of situations.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to add a quick thing over there. We also have this concept of what we call as sticky buttons. So if I'm trying to say stop payment and it's saying, you'd like to stop delivery or something like that, we have these sticky buttons which will allow them to click on it. If for some reason there's background noise, someone's using a jackhammer next to you, and that is not being conveyed, you don't need to rely on these unidimensional voice channels for that. You can just click that button, and that will give three different options of intent, and it will also help alleviate the frustration.
Awesome. So how does this agent, virtual agent to human agent handoff look like? Because initially I thought, okay, you guys just strictly deal with the digital agent, but are they able to get constructive, meaningful, structured information that is pulled from what their the virtual agent is conversing with the user and easily map into a CRM system? So by the time it's handed over to a live agent, they're able to understand all of that and even know the type of emotion that this customer is currently in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've seen our demo, but it sure sounds like you know exactly what that demo would be about. But that is exactly what we do, right? So the virtual agent has done the automated and manual tasks of asking them to which web page they're on, what is the 4-digit unique code on that web page. They might have asked them on, okay, is there an issue with the shipping or is there an issue with the inventory, stuff like that. And all that information, when it comes in, it gets put into on the case management system, on the CRM system, or the databases that are connected to these support tools. It gets put into those custom fields automatically. So in our on our platform, a lot of times our customers tell us that manual entry times for agents are reduced by over 60%. What that also does, it removes the possibility of errors. Now, when that is kind of taken into case and then we do a handoff to the human agent, just sensing that there might be frustration or you can use like Boolean kind of case parameters that they have spent so much time on it. They've used a certain word a few times and they're getting angry, and that can transition it over to the human agent. And admins and supervisors can also see that. We actually, on our real-time dashboards for virtual agents, show what the misunderstanding or what the intent mismatch that the virtual agent had with a particular customer shows. We also very closely track if this session was channel steered to voice or to chat, and what was the NPS or customer satisfaction ratings for that. So you can understand for something like a stop payment, maybe the urgency and the frustration and the anxiety is a lot more than, oh, I'm looking to add a coupon code to my purchase, arguably, right? So you can, as an admin or a system supervisor or a technologist, can look at those two, do some A/B testing and find out what is the best path to do that. And all of this gets content unified into your CRM system or your media server of your choice. And then it renders on the agent screen at the same time. So that way, you're not worrying about data going into several different places. It's going into one single place where you've already been authorized, the data domicile has been set, and you're pulling from it in real time. But at the end of the session, even the recording is going into that same place. So your InfoSec teams, your audit teams don't have to worry about it. But in real time, both your agents and your supervisors can do metric maximization and data minimization.
Okay, that is very super cool. So getting back to the virtual agent side of things, when we're dealing with chatbots, sometimes it's like ask their preset knowledge base that is being pulled from, then you get back. But chatbots or virtual agents should be conversational, like a conversational AI. How do you guys manage the state of the conversation and also remember the context of what the user is talking about using AI? Because it's very frustrating to say one thing to even a human being or a chatbot, but by the time you get transitioned to somebody that could potentially help you, guess what? You have to start up the top again, repeating yourself. So how does AI particular handle sessions?
Yeah, great question. In several different ways. And just going back to the last question, right, where we said that we're making sure that content is unified and is in a single source of truth. So what that allows is not only allows you to set up your Kafka pipelines and everything else for data delivery to wherever it needs to go to with a single source, and you don't have to like grab and delete and use CSVs like a legacy platforms do. But at the same time, it allows you to see that in a very accurate manner and actually append it with visual information. I'll give you a couple of examples. There are several different ways today that you can trigger a very content-rich or visual-rich information session, right? So, I mean, with COVID, a lot of restaurants just use QR codes to render a menu. Those same QR codes can be used to understand which page a customer is on, which part of the journey of their onboarding the customer is on. Now, if you're looking at the financial sector, there's already a lot of libraries that a ton of different apps and even websites, mobile websites use, where you can take a photo of your credit card, you can take a photo of your check. Mobile check deposit has just become second nature to us. And then even in the delivery sector, if you look at it, if you order alcohol, there's they can have a library in their app in the back of your driver's license. It can ensure that you're above 21 and so on and so forth. So having a super modular platform that has a blended omnichannel engine with inputs that can be provided before the session enters that omnichannel engine. And based on what you do, it could be as simple as just OCR. But based on those things, you can make smart routing decisions so that not only do you don't have to repeat stuff, but you're not going into a conversation where you know you're gonna hate it, where it starts off with, tell me your zip code, what's your mother's maiden name. We have a smart action which verifies people using your Touch ID and Face ID. If that mm-hmm. is how you're used to consuming the product and the service, why is it that you have to go back 20 years into an old way of just kind of verifying yourself? So we use AI session continuity and ensuring the accuracy of the data coming from a single source of truth to ensure that those sessions are non-frustrating and very seamless and free-flowing.
Okay, so the CRM in a way kind of acts as also a storage target for some of these session information. So absolutely. If I call in 2 weeks from now, you guys know who I am and would take it from where I left off, that sort of thing.
Absolutely, but furthermore than that, because mm-hmm. there's no manual entry required, right? Agents, yep. again, have a tough job, technical support, tier one, tier three agents. They're almost being yelled at. And then with legacy platforms, you have to manually enter certain things. You're bound to kind of miss something. With that deep, deep plumbing inside the CRM, as deep as making custom objects, having custom checkboxes for verification, having custom things that go through various different places, maybe like storing the Bluetooth MAC address, which uniquely identifies that device if you have four or five different fitness trackers. All of those things being in a very secure manner indexed inside that CRM allows the next session or repeat session to be tailored so that it's not like they have to repeat everything. It's like, oh, you had just called 48 hours ago. And not only you're prioritizing that call, but you have that information and that first dialogue that you have with that customer saying like, oh, you had just called 48 hours ago. It doesn't seem like that worked. Let me quickly verify you with your Touch ID, Face ID, and let's get on to solving it. With that experience, you've created a customer for life, as opposed to having them go through the same repeat motion of just almost buying time and trying to find out what their issue is, right?
Yeah, that sounds very personalizable and more user-friendly approach. If I can deal with
it. Yeah, we believe in hyper-personalization. So the customers today have a sense of just a desire and command, basically, instant gratification. And hyper-personalization is the only way to do it. I mean, if we can send them targeted ads, why can we not use that information to solve their issues?
Exactly. Well, we have 5 more minutes. I have 2 questions left. Mm-hmm. So when we're providing our personal information, a lot of these customer service, you have to provide your personal information. And sometimes if you're paying your bill, you have to provide a credit card and whatnot. How Yes. is natural language processing handling that? Because we're used to natural processing languages, understanding sentiment or user intent. But when it comes to cybersecurity, how are you guys using NLP to address that issue?
Yeah, so we use multiple different things, right? So one thing to note here is that we had SOC 2 certification before we had a website. So we have designed this platform with security as a cornerstone. And as a result, today we have pretty much all of the security certification compliances, HIPAA, GDPR, CCPA, 3 different ISOs, SOC 1, 2, 3, and we're going in for FedRAMP next. Along with that, there's a philosophy not only of content unification inside the CRM and not storing that information on-prem because we're not an on-prem platform. What we do along with that is use the real-time intent, right? We're using real-time intent by processing. If there's a credit card that needs to be processed, use modern technologies for it. With the click of a button, you can put in our system, even if it's not originating from the app or the web page, even on an IVR call, the end user and the platform get put into a secure shell where the agent doesn't even hear DTMF tones when a credit card charge is being made. Also, because we don't have a system where we are storing even the recordings, right? A lot of companies in our sector store the recordings, so they're just designed so that they can charge you for storage. By removing that mindset of that we need to store the recordings and stuff and everything gets stored into the CRM, it's very easy for us to abide by and comply with the security and cybersecurity requirements.
Okay. So in 1 minute, are you guys using any open source tooling for your solution?
Absolutely. So we use Ruby on Rails, we use Angular, Vue.js. We leverage a lot of codecs whenever it comes onto the WebRTC side with Opus and so on and so forth. We very much believe in not reinventing the wheel, but we definitely have a lot of secret sauce that is on top of those technologies. But yeah, those are kind of the main ones that we use.
Okay. Anand, this was an awesome conversation. Do you have any parting words that you can share with us?
Firstly, thank you for having me, and hopefully this gave an insight into how we're really taking on solving customer support, which is a widespread problem. I mean, I've never met anyone who loves to clear out their afternoon to talk to customer support because they have better things to do. And solving it in a very visual and contextual manner with user experience for all personas being the focus. To learn more, please visit us at ujet.cx. And thanks again, Ruth, for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.